I'm putting on cricket. Fuck this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dimebag Podcast. I am Tyler Wilkinson. We're joined today by Russ Steinberg.
Hello.
And Megan Bard.
I've had gin.
And Kevin Meacham.
How are you doing?
So, it's been a while since we've done this, but it's almost football season, which, you know, exactly the reaction I was looking for. Meach, while we were all putting back tequila with Suze and watching Yard Goats, you attended the open practice. How was it?
I did. It was pretty solid, actually. I'm not like, it did get me like super excited about the season, but I am like looking forward to it. Like I'm anticipating it. Like it's going to physically happen
right
soon.
Odds are probably it probably will happen.
Probably. I mean, we're
unless the world ends before then, which
50-50.
Hey, but
I heard there were a lot more people than they were anticipating.
There were surprisingly a lot. It was almost as much as a spring game, which, you know, I guess it's August. I don't know. People are hungry to watch any football. I guessed that it was about 2,500. The lines for the Bears barbecue were out of control.
I'm going to bleep that because they don't sponsor us. So following on Twitter, Russ's escapades around Dunkin' Donuts Park, what was more fun in your estimation, Russ's day or your day?
Almost definitely Russ.
I will say that while I have been drunker in my life, I have never been drunk for longer in my life.
That was a marathon.
That was an incredible full day.
It was over 10 straight hours of alcohol for you.
Yeah.
I tallied it up afterwards, and we consumed over the course of our day a lot of alcoholic beverages.
And I kept going after you guys left.
Yeah, we all left. We left Russ alone in the big city.
Hartford.
That's
after we left Agave, I walked to the train station, bought a later ticket, and then went to that other place with Susan Dana and drank more until my next trip.
Which was the right call, honestly.
It was absolutely the right call.
Right.
The slack on Monday morning of just communal hangover was really pretty entertaining. People, I literally had someone be like, "Are you feeling okay today?" And I was like, "No, I fucking hung over. Like, I need a nap."
My coworker told me I looked like death.
The Yard Goats were, I mean, when we were watching the baseball, but like all the ancillary Yard Goatness was really quite entertaining.
Yeah. I was going to say, they sponsor a Dimebag, so I feel like we have to be nice anyways, but it was really fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We had a blast.
And the 10 minutes of baseball that we saw in the ninth inning was great.
Yeah, they walked off.
I'm still really sad that we didn't get the donut BLT. Like, I don't know what the fuck we were thinking.
I think we just have to go back.
I mean, I realized we had just had tacos, but I still feel like we should have gotten the donut BLT, and I'm, like, still sad about that.
Now, are there live goats at these games?
There are! Yeah.
Did you not see the pictures of the goats?
There were baby goats.
Well, I did.
And
I'm trying to set you up for the goddamn.
That's a prompt, Russ.
Sorry.
I was legitimately shocked that strange people from the internet found us at our seats.
Oh yeah, this is worth mentioning because Russ is a celebrity.
I am.
I didn't know this, Russ.
Not only did they come find you for stickers, but then on their own requested a back-to-back.
Yeah. It was such an honor.
That's intense.
Brand is very strong.
Yeah.
So anyways, Meach, who's our starting quarterback?
You're talking about Mr. David Pindell.
Oh!
The JUCO transfer out of some school in Pennsylvania. It's not important. Apparently he was named the starting quarterback like 5 minutes before the open practice. And he took all the number one reps.
Even though it was kind of like the worst kept secret.
Yeah, it was not like there was. It was like a quarterback competition in the same way that UConn had a hashtag contest at one time.
Pindle was wearing the red UConn Nation jersey before long before the first practice.
Because it was like he came in and then like every story that came out of Etzel like over the summer was like, oh, David Pindell, he's got a lot of leadership. You know, the kids seem to be rallying towards him. He's got a great release. You know, strong arm, can make all the plays. Brian Sheriff still exists. David Pindell is really handsome. Like, he's smart. He knows algebra. you know, you put two and two together, it was never going to be much of a competition. Thankfully, the first time I got to see him live, he does look a lot better than Brian Sheriffs.
Oh, okay.
He has good footwork. He gets rid of the ball really quickly. Good arm. He had some pretty good chemistry with, I think, Tyreek Beals, who's playing a lot of slot in the practice that we saw. So I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, if you wanted to draw a parallel, you could probably go back to 2007 when Tyler Lorenzen came in, replacing DJ Hernandez, who was not a particularly great quarterback. And you know, Lorenzen was good enough to get that team to 9 wins. I'm not going to go say Pindell's going to do that, but if he's for real, then, you know, it certainly changes the ceiling and the floor for this team.
I mean, it seems almost like the morally right thing to do to not let Brian Sheriffs play college quarterback anymore also.
Yeah.
I feel like he has enough. He's reached the maximum number of concussions allowed.
He has a child.
Yeah.
He does.
And
he's reached the maximum number of humans to, like, that he can't let die.
And let's be real. Whatever his last college football game is will be the last competitive football game he plays in.
Which, fine. Get your free NBA, bro.
Oh, I absolutely agree. But it's not like
I would love nothing more
to boost his draft stock or anything.
No.
See, I would love nothing more than for David Pindell to play 12 games. We go like 7-5, and Brian Sheriffs goes off to like buy a house in Hawaii. It was a good time.
So did you, Meech, did you get any sort of insight as to the brand of offense that UConn will be running this year?
A little bit. They did a scrimmage with the starting offense and against the starting defense. The one thing that's immediately noticeable, and I think I mentioned this after the spring game, is just how prepared we seem.
What a concept!
I don't know if everyone actually knows all the plays, but you know they're getting up to the line quick after every snap. I think there was. You know, they had one long pass down the field and they immediately sprinted to the line to get off another quick play that looked like a pretty good rhythm.
Are
you inferring that they're not going to run out of time in the play clock on every single play?
Very likely not. It's cool because, like, it's they want to play offense for the first time in like 4 years.
That's
like we haven't had.
Do they though? Or do you think Etzel is running his auxiliary playbook so that he can hide his good plays for the next scrimmage? He doesn't want his own defense to know his own offensive plays.
That's a very good point. The Holy Cross scouts that I assume made up half the crowd are going to be in for a real surprise on August 31st.
Guys, how bad do you feel for all these Nebraska fans who are like, hey, this Bob Diaco guy sure seems like something?
I don't feel bad because it's Nebraska, but it's really fun to watch.
Like, you see their fans getting so excited over him.
We were stupid once too.
Yeah, that's what else, it like makes me feel better to watch someone else fall for it because I fell for it.
Later.
We were stupid 10 months ago too.
Right.
Yeah.
Do not read the archives on our site.
No.
Ooh. Actually, just don't read our site at all. There's nothing there
there's
anyway.
There's nothing new since the last time you were there.
we're a Yard Goats blog anyway.
Hey, we mailbagged.
We talked about buzzer beaters. It was very exciting.
It was like a 1600 word mailbag.
I really tried to cut down on those buzzer beaters, but there, you know, you get excited about buzzer beaters. Gotta say some sentences.
The mailbag is our long form content.
It really is. Also our short term content.
Yeah, it's our content.
It's
our
the extent content. Of our content.
And the occasional podcast.
Yeah. Monthly. So Meech, what else do we need to know? What's the next?
Oh, yeah, more foot. That's right, football.
What's the next, you know, upcoming cool thing? Is it just opening day? Is there anything cool before then?
I believe that's it. I think the depth chart's supposed to be released the week before.
Still no media guide?
Yeah, at some point, do you think they'll release a media guide this year?
Maybe.
It's just a historical.
Still 2 weeks. We got plenty of time. A couple other observations I had. They went three wide the whole time, which was interesting.
And who were the three starters?
Three starters were Aaron McClain and Beals, and then Mayala and McClain were the wide guys. Beals was in the slot, and Tommy Myers was the tight end.
I'm giving away, we'll do a roundtable at some point, but Myers is absolutely my X factor, my dark horse, my most improved guy. Because I'm pretty sure Etzel realizes that tight ends are allowed to play offense.
I mean, Tommy got like three passes thrown to him last year, which was a giant load of horseshit. So presumably Rhett Lashley's offense involves throwing the tight end the ball more than three times in a season. So I think
they did. There were a lot of little short routes that they ran for the tight ends, and
yay!
I think Myers caught two or three passes, and the other tight end whose name I'm forgetting caught a couple.
I would just like to say I'm firmly in the pro column on throwing the ball to Tommy Myers.
So switching gears, you want to talk about Jim Calhoun?
Yeah. What is happening? What is going on?
I don't know, but I like it.
He just wants to coach. I think that's all it is.
I agree.
Just like old people get like that.
Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense for D3. You don't have to do any recruiting. Zero.
No, you do recruiting. But if you're Jim Calhoun, I guess they just come to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably doesn't.
Yeah.
He's not going to have to like travel all over the place and beg kids to come play for him.
Right.
Like, if he's looking for like the D3 talent, he's going to be like, yes, Jim Calhoun, I'll come play for you. Okay.
Right.
Like, it's fine. He'll just call people on the phone and be like, hello, I'm Jim Calhoun. Come to St. Joe's. And then they will, and then he's done.
I was an impression.
You sound just
almost,
like him.
Almost as good as David Benedict's Cumberbatch.
I will say, I mean, I say good for Jim Calhoun. Who cares? If he wants to coach, go coach. He's obviously really good at it, and whoever he coaches will be better off because of it, which sure. I think is cool. But this reinforces my long-held belief that he was actually coaching the 2014 team, and then when he was told he could not coach UConn anymore as part of his shadow campaign, that he is now just going to coach somewhere else.
It's going to be really hilarious when 2 years after he starts there, they win the D3 national championship.
Which also confirms my long-held belief that he should just continue his shadow campaign.
He really should.
It's going to be really hilarious when Danielle schedules him and St. Joe's beat Central.
By the way, there's pretty much like a 100% chance that Calhoun hires Glenn Miller as an assistant coach.
Yes.
That's definitely going to happen.
100%. 100%. Because he doesn't have a job.
Calhoun's going to accept the job this week and then wait until mid-September and then retire so Glenn Miller gets the head coaching job.
Mekhi Ashton Langford's going to transfer to St. Joseph.
Putnam Science Academy, the feeder school of St. Joe's.
It's crazy how much, like, how different the reaction is from Calhoun maybe taking the D3 job versus, like, when he was rumored to be at Boston College, like, taking that job.
Oh,
like,
I burned that school to the ground before I let you Calhoun coach there.
Like, this is just fine, you know? Maybe I'll root for them and they'll win, like, 10 games a year and Jim can add on to his 850 wins or whatever it is.
Maybe he's just doing this so we could pass Boeheim.
I hope that's what it is.
I hope that's why.
You guys think Benedict said to Calhoun, like, giving Kevin like 12 more months, so why don't you go get back in game shape just in case?
Maybe.
All right, Russ, what do we got for mailbags?
Oh, wait, do you want to do like the whole setup?
No.
And sing the song and all of that? No. Okay.
Ordinarily, I would say every Friday we answer a mailbag, but we've done it three times this summer. So let's just go to the question.
On occasional Fridays, we answer questions.
We have mailbagged in the past, and we may mailbag in the future.
So Aaron Zimmerman asks, why do you only have one podcast a month? # step up your game.
You know what, Aaron Zimmerman?
We all have real fucking jobs. Russ has like five jobs all to himself. Like, we're busy people, man. Do you know how hard it is to get four people's schedules to coordinate with each other?
You know what, Aaron Zimmerman? Like, make your pledge on, what's the podcast thing where they pay people now?
Patreon.
Patreon.
Thank you. I actually knew what it was, but I didn't know how to pronounce it, so I was waiting for you all to do it, and you all did it differently.
Patreon? That would make sense. Patreon. Like,
yeah, I think it's Patreon.
All right, Aaron Zimmerman, make an offer.
Oh, we should thank our Patreon supporters before we continue. That's their $5 a month. They get a shout out on every podcast.
Thanks, Russ's dad. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dad. Timothy Court says, what is Bucky Jr. up to these days?
He's hanging out in Baltimore. His Instagram remains lit.
Yeah, let me pull up his Instagram. This is, I think this is a good question.
Bunky is a highly underrated Instagram follow.
He is a really good Instagram follow. So he's still hanging out with Cassell.
Yeah.
Really likes that White Sox hat.
And he's dancing. Bunky's still dancing.
Yeah, well, that's what Bunky does best.
It really is. Hey, this will be a good segue. Ben asks for a Cam Reddish update, which the update is...
He's still going to Duke.
Listed UConn. He is, I think, scheduled or supposed to come take a visit in September. And he is absolutely going to Duke.
But his best friend from preschool is a walk-on.
Don't give a shit.
I'm just kidding. No.
The only way...
Let me tell you this story of a man named Hamidou Diallo. Who I'm fairly sure at one point we were actively recruiting like three other members of his family.
Yeah.
As well as his best friend.
Basically a husky of honor already.
Right.
While we were still recruiting him. He was like enrolled and a sophomore and going to every football game. And that didn't work, so...
He might have gone to more basketball games than I did.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is the only way Cam Reddish goes to UConn is if when he visits, they do not let him leave. Like, they physically restrain him.
Reddish was my segue to talk about how UConn has no recruits in the 2018 class.
That's a problem.
It feels like a problem.
Everything's fine.
We just lost Montez Mathis to Rutgers, who now has four committed recruits, which is more than zero.
Yeah, Rutgers is in a better place than UConn right now, like as a program.
It's kind of concerning.
Yeah, and they get a jacuzzi for their football games now. Do you see that? That's what you do when you have Big Ten money.
Are we still in on anybody? I guess Reddish is sort of, but who do we have a shot at actually getting?
The best player that's not Reddish that we're in on, I think, is Russ's favorite.
Who's my favorite?
Shitu.
Oh, yeah, Shitu. We made
his top 10. No, he will not go to UConn either. But we made his top 10. So I think, so it was really funny. So Simi Shidu, who I have no idea if that's how you pronounce his name, but that's how we will pronounce his name. He shares on Twitter his top 10, and there's six teams on one half of the graphic and four teams on the other. On the right half of the graphic, Kentucky, North Carolina, Arizona, Oregon, Notre Dame, South Carolina. And then the other one, Vanderbilt, Arizona State, New Mexico, UConn. I'm going to do a wild prediction and say he's not going to the four on the left side of the bracket on the graphic.
I don't want to hang out with those people. That's not who I want to be hanging out with. I'm not feeling good about that. I know, isn't Jalen Carey? He's still scheduled to come. He's definitely going to go to Syracuse.
So he's actually the best player I think that they have a good shot at left. I don't think they'll get anybody at this point because I think the world is broken. But I think he is probably their best shot at like a top. He could end up in the top 30.
He's a four-star.
Yeah, their best actual commit is going to be starting at point guard this year at E.O. Smith.
Congrats to Randy on becoming UConn starting point guard.
Randy Olander.
Well, this has been fun.
Yeah. So they were in heavy on A.J. Reeves. He's going to Providence. They were in heavy on David Duke, who has the most unfortunate name of any basketball career I can ever remember, who just listed, I think, his top five, and then UConn was not among them.
I don't hate that, by the way.
Yeah, that would have been rough. He's a good player, and I feel like the world could be helped by getting a better representative of that name, but it would be hard to deal with. We'd end up in some weird-ass Twitter searches.
Yes.
Russ can't do that anymore.
Vengeance would be on fire. You can't do that to Russ.
I'm not going through that again.
Poor Russ. Don't do that to Russ.
Can I just talk about how much I hate that we're losing a lot of recruits to Providence now?
Yeah, Providence and Rutgers, we're losing recruits to. This is problematic.
But like Providence, it has happened quite a few times now. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. See, guys, this is why we don't do podcasts, because everything is terrible.
Because everything is bad. Why do you want to listen to this bullshit? Everything sucks about UConn, and it always will.
Aaron Judge is in a slump. There are Nazis in the streets. Nothing good happening ever.
Nazis! You want to talk about UConn basketball, which is going to win 10 games this year? There are Nazis!
Motherfucking Nazis in the street.
It's not what you want.
Nazis.
It's a true fact. UConn has never been good at sports while Nazis existed.
Yeah.
We were bad until 1945, and we're bad now, and it's all because of Nazis.
Is Ice Bus going to be good? Can we at least be happy about that?
Maybe. They don't play a home game for like 6 months of the season.
Let's take a quick break.
We're just waiting for David Benedict Cumberbatch to get into the official Dimeback podcast studio.
Yep.
he just parked outside the complex.
His horse-drawn carriage has arrived.
He's parked on the wrong side of the street, so it might take a minute.
Yeah.
He's navigating the complicated path to get to the J. Timothy's menu, which again involves going to adimeback.com, clicking any article, and scrolling down four paragraphs.
That is the only way to get there.
It's certainly the most efficient.
Yeah.
Thanks for sponsoring us, J. Timothy.
Your wings are really good.
I was talking to them about getting gift card giveaways for readers. Something to do with the start of football season. Something to look forward to, kiddos.
Oh, looks like I have someone joining me here. David, nice to see you. Hello, Joey Chan.
He's clearly gotten into the gin.
I do love a good gin. It does remind me of the Spanish-American War. I don't know why. If my voice changes or my accent changes at any time, please do know it's completely incidental. It just happens to me sometimes.
Because of the gin.
Because of the gin, of course.
So what do you have for us today, David?
Well, it appears that there is something very near and dear to my heart, the Low Country Sauté. And, of course, my grandpapa fought in World War I, the Great War, in the Low Countries, and it's so it's very near to me, but...
Get it together.
I can't wait to have actual David Benedict on here.
I can't wait till I actually figure out what accent I'm doing. The Low Country Sauté. It's little neck clams steamed in a garlic butter and white wine broth with andouille sausage, diced tomato, and zucchini. Served with garlic toasted bread over angel hair pasta for just $24.95. Now that's 1942 in pounds. But it's still a pretty good price.
That sounds delicious.
Mm.
It does. Perhaps
you had me at garlic butter.
Yeah.
Perhaps we can go there at 4 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time.
We actually really should go to JT.
We really should.
For those wings. I want wings. Damn it.
Thank you, David Benedict Cumberbatch.
Thank you, and thank you, J. Timothy's, for, again, tolerating us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and buy football tickets.
go.
Cheerio. All right, so closing things out, we want to talk about the women who are currently souring international relations by destroying most of Europe.
Sorry, David.
The Netherlands and Italy.
It's
two,
like
two fine countries, but...
It's like looking 3 months into the future.
I am enjoying the stat line of being up by like 60 points on random international teams.
I haven't seen any box scores or anything. Who's been playing well?
Gabby and Kia.
Oh, I miss them so much.
I'm so excited to see them again.
I want them back in my life.
Come back to us. We miss you.
It is. It's like escapism. It's like playing video games, but putting it on easy after you've had a bad day, just so you can like absolutely beat the shit out of a computerized opponent and then feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
That's what UConn like women's basketball is to me right now.
Life is hard right now, and just UConn women's basketball is like a lovely cleanse to my soul.
I'm looking at the box score from today's game. They beat the Italian All-Stars 103-45.
More like the Italian all shits. Got him.
Meatballs. It looks like all five starters. All five starters were in double figures. Unfortunately, they don't have names. They just have numbers.
Does it say who started?
I assume it's the first five, which is Katie, Lou, Gabby, Azalea?
Azare?
Azare. I'm going to call her Azalea.
Okay.
Kia and
Collier, 24.
She's the first one off the bench. If this is in that order,
so did Megan Walker start?
She's 11.
11 is 11 Kia.
Kia.
Oh,
Walker 33,
11. No, she was off the bench too. 33, 11, 25, 15, 23.
Kyla. 25 is Kyla Irwin.
Okay, that didn't happen.
Why did Kyla start?
No. She had 15 points.
Hey, what? Good for you, Kyla.
Three rebounds, six for eight from the field, three for three from three.
So they're just like doing whatever the fuck they want right now. Chino doesn't give any fucks right now.
How did Dangerfield do?
Number
five.
Yeah.
2 point, unless they switch numbers, 2 points, eight assists. Holy shit.
Oh, eight assists, eight rebounds. Yeah, that's Crystal.
That sounds about right.
Crystal.
And,
did points. Number two play? That's Espinoza Hunter.
Yep, she had 2 points, four rebounds, two assists, two steals.
How many rebounds did the team have?
4 million. 65. 20 up.
How many were defensive rebounds?
45.
Oh my god. Wow,
how did Molly Bent
the Italian
number
the
10
Italian,
I think
the Italian shot 25%. Number 10 Molly Bent, 3 points, three rebounds, two assists.
Molly Bent scoring on you, Italy, you trash.
Yeah.
didn't they played the Dutch national team in the previous game and also
I think that one was
a little
bit closer.
Yeah, they only won by like 16, I think, or something.
But that was the actual Dutch national team. That wasn't like the All-Stars or whatever.
Yeah, but the Dutch national team's like five Dutch people they found outside.
It's Andrew Jones in a wig.
It's actually like, you know, the very...
They're wearing
all of the living Van Buren's.
But they're like college kids.
A literal windmill.
Some clogs, maybe.
Yeah, those windmill dunks, though. So they have one. People hear this podcast, they'll have finished the tour, I think.
When's this getting edited?
Well, I'm hoping it'll get up Monday morning, and the last game is Sunday.
Oh, okay.
It looks like fun. They look like they're enjoying themselves.
There was some really dope horse race in Florence the other day that I was like, I'd hang out.
They really should have invited us.
Should have gone. You could have paid a boatload of money to like travel with them and hang out in Italy.
Yeah, I'd do that. I'd hang out with Gina.
Holy shit, Uncle Cliffy's puppy is so fucking cute. Holy shit, that dog's adorable.
Outside of women's basketball, where does Uncle Cliffy's puppy rank on the list of good things happening in UConn?
It's literally number two right now. Like, that's how good this dog is.
Higher than Quentin Williams' Instagram feed?
I'm watching a video of this puppy. It just found a pen. It's jumping out.
Oh my god!
It's very. I can't.
It can write.
Shaking the pen.
Are we gonna do like a football preview podcast for the? For
yeah, you can
game?
Do that.
Definitely. Yeah, it'll just That's be you. Bad. But
yeah. This one will be like 10 minutes of yard goats talk.
It really will be.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah,
because. That was fun. More fun than anything UConn related happening.
Very true.
Until we beat Holy Cross 75-0.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Dime Bat Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Cheerio.